Revelation. We have for the past couple weeks been talking about what? That's a question. I'll ask Homer. He'll tell us. Well, you know about as much as they do, evidently, Homer. If you've been here the last couple of weeks, raise your hand. Well, no wonder nobody knows anything. It was a vision. I just thought I saw people sitting in here. Huh? Talking about what?
The seals, maybe?
The seals? Honey, that was a wonderful guess. No, it's wrong. I mean, it's wrong. But I don't like to tell a woman she's wrong. Homer said that. I didn't. We've been talking about if we're going to be any earthly good, I can't even get the pump primed. If we're going to be any earthly good, we need a vision from heaven. We need a view from heaven. We need not only a view from heaven, we need a view towards heaven. We're not going to be any earthly good if our view is earthly. If all we're doing is looking down, we are of no benefit to anyone. If we're going to benefit someone, we must be looking up. Look, folks, if we are children of God, and I say that rhetorically, then there is an innate thing in us, a longing in us. A longing for what?
Home.
And why do we long for home? Since you answered, I'm coming to you.
Oh, well, I've already answered, so.
Okay. If there's a longing for home, what else is there a longing for?
To be in the presence of God.
That's home. Mm-hmm. Listen, I know we talk about heaven and it's beautiful and our loved ones are there and all this stuff. Folks, heaven is a benefit. I'll tell you what our longing for and our loving is for. The Bible says it's for His return. It doesn't say anything out about anything except the children of God have a longing for His appearing, have a loving for His appearing. Because Hebrews says He will appear the second time to those who are looking for Him. Well, why do we look for Him? Listen, we look for Him because our citizenship, our conversation, the Bible says, and that word means citizenship or it means community. Y'all know what a community is. A community is where you dwell. A community is where you live. He says, our conversation is on earth. I'll try that again, bless God. Our conversation is... Thank you, brother. I was hoping you'd correct me the first time. I didn't know I'd have to come back again. Listen, if all we're thinking about is down here, how can we benefit anyone? What story do we tell? What witness do we have? What testimony do we have? If we don't have a vision of heaven, if we don't have a loving and a longing for God, what are we going to tell people?
Nothing.
You're going to tell them what the government tells them.
Right.
Which is worthless, because most of it's untrue. Not most of it, almost all of it. Not almost all of it, all of it. For the Bible says, let God be true, and every man... Listen, don't you believe one word a Republican or Democrat tells you. when it comes to your benefit. It's not true. I know that's to be true because I've noticed every time the election time comes around, their stories change. They want to say what Johnny wants to hear, so Johnny will pull the lever for them. But after they get elected, they don't give a rip what you pull. I'm not talking about Democrats or Republicans. I'm saying they're all that way. Because it's man. But when God tells you something, when he says, Johnny, buddy, I don't want anything but the best for you. And you know how I'm going to prove that to you, Johnny? I'm going to come down there. I'm going to humble myself. I'm going to give up my glory. I'm going to hang on a cross. I'm going to shed my blood. And I'm going to give my life so that you can have all my blessings. Now you show me anybody on this earth will give you that, bless God. No wonder Psalms ends this way. Let everything that hath breath, praise the Lord. Thank you, brother. We'll get it. Larry told me last week, he said, brother, we almost got a shouting time going, didn't we? I said, yeah, I'm just waiting for it not be almost. I'm just waiting for the time when we all get in here and say, boy, I didn't bring no baggage today. Bless God, I'm just going to praise the Lord. Because his word says, let everything that hath breath, praise the Lord. Now, when they came to Jesus, and they said, Lord, teach us to pray. And the Lord said, well, you just get on your knees and you say things. No, he gave them a specific pattern. Listen, folks, I know that we like to repeat the Lord's Prayer, but the Lord's Prayer is not prayer. It's the pattern for prayer. It's how you, it's your heart set and mindset when you do pray. He said, when you pray, first of all, say, our Father. Well, the first thing you got to have is a Father, bless God. Right? Well, listen, contrary to what the world will tell you, not everyone is a child of God. Therefore, he is not Father to everyone. He is Creator of all. He is Maker of all. He is God of all. He is Judge of all. But he's not your Father unless, bless God, Jesus is your brother. Huh? So he says, first thing you got to know is you got to have a relationship with me. Otherwise, you can stop right there. Because all the other words you say is just thoughts and prayers. Y'all know what I think about thoughts and prayers. Please, don't ever say to me, Tom, our thoughts and prayers are with you. I don't want your thoughts, and I don't want your prayers. But if you ever come to me and say, Tom, I'm going to the throne room of God for you, son. I'm going to get on my knees, and I'm going to talk to the Father for you. Hey, been using good terms then. Huh? Because I know it's not just words rolling out. That, you know, you get these thoughts and prayers. Oh, I don't like it. I know it means well. I do. I don't get me wrong. I'm not a cruel person. I'm not a mean person. But I'm just not a fan of that. I'll move on. Our Father. Which, well, what's that? It's not just any father, Johnny. It's not an earthly father. I mean, nobody loved their earthly father more than I did. I had the best earthly father on this earth. You say, no, you didn't. I did. But I can't look to my earthly father like I look to my heavenly father. One thing, my heavenly father has all power. My earthly father was powerless, unless he got it from God. That's what Jesus told Caesar. He says, you have no power except my Father give it to you. So I know all the power comes from God, right? So he said, our Father which art in heaven. So that's why I say, listen, if you're not looking to where the Father is, you're not praying. You're just saying words. And my dad used to have a saying, they'd go about as far as the ceiling. That's about as far as they go. He says, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed or holy. Listen, if you don't see God as holy, He's not your Father. And if you see Him as holy, you have to see yourself as... See, when you see yourself as unholy, and you see Him as holy, and you're reading the Scripture where He says, well, without holiness no man shall see God, then what are you asking for? Yeah, you're asking for the thing that's going to get you to Him. And so you say, Father, I need holiness. And He says, well, I'll tell you where you get it. From my Son. You go to my Son, and you tell my Son that I sent you. You say, Tom, come on. It's in the Bible. He said, my Father sent me. And the words of my Father I say, and the deeds of my Father I do. So the Father sends us to the Son. Because it's from the Son that we get the holiness that we need and the righteousness that we need so that He becomes our Father. And then we can say, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed, holy is Thy name. Thy kingdom, Thy where, honey? Well, boy, I tell you one thing. It'd be nice to know what the will in heaven is so we'd know what the will on earth ought to be, right? Wouldn't it be nice? Boy, it'd be nice if we had a book somewhere that could tell us that, wouldn't it? I mean, you know, we could go to Mr. K's and get the book. And that book would tell us. And everybody would go buy the book, right? Everybody would go by the book, right? Wrong. Because there is a book. There is a book. There's a book that will tell you exactly what they're doing in heaven. Matter of fact, I'm teaching it. John said, and the next thing I saw was a door opened in heaven. And the next voice I heard was as it were a
trumpet.
That wasn't a trumpet, was it? Because it was a voice. Trumpets don't talk. They make a very distinct sound, but they don't talk. No one talks to a trumpet, do they? Unless you're God. Now, God can talk to a trumpet, and the trumpet will talk back. Listen, if a jackass can talk, and if a rock... You believe rocks talk? Brother, you better read that book. Because he says, if I command these rocks, they will cry out unto me. I don't need you. If you think God needs you, you better rethink it. Because God can tell rocks to do what He wants done. He wants you coming because He wants you coming. Because you want to come. But if you don't want to come, listen, He can tell rocks praise Him. Well, He can command a rock and it gives out water. You ever got water out of a rock, Johnny? Well, God has. Huh? So, see, God can talk to anyone or anything. Now, Father, I know y'all think I just ramble, but I'm not rambling. I'm getting somewhere. If you're going with me, you'll get there too. So He says, let everything... Now, a thing can be an animate object or an inanimate object, right? A person or a person or a...
Rock.
That boy is getting smart. He is starting to pick this up. Give me a high five. Let everything... Why should everything praise Him? Well, He created everything. But He doesn't say that, Johnny. He says, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Listen, He doesn't require the rocks to praise Him. They don't have breath. He can do it,
But he doesn't require it. But he does require you. And you. And you. And me. Because we have breath. And those that don't do what he says are disobedient. And those that are disobedient have to answer for their disobedience. So he says, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Now, he says, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So what are they doing in heaven? Boy, y'all are quick today. Y'all are getting this fast. Listen, one of these days, this earth, it's going to do the exact same thing they're doing in heaven, and that is giving him constant, unending praise. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, we can see that because chapter 4 and chapter 5 are about heaven. For he says, I saw a door opened in heaven. And the next voice I heard was, as it were, a trumpet saying, oh, what well, long to hear. You say, Tom, today? Well, hey, listen, I don't know what I want to be on the next bus. Humanly, but spiritually. Huh. Call it out, Lord. Huh? Well, sure. Call it out, Lord. Call it. I'm ready. Because I know as soon as I hear the voice, because he says, and soon after, not too long after, Johnny, you better be looking down at that book if you can't follow me. Immediately. Instantaneously, in the blink of a you have heard that one, haven't you? It's actually twinkle, but it means blink. Listen, folks, here's what that means. If the Lord doesn't come back, and I leave this earth, in less than a second, after my last breath is gone, I'm gone. Do you believe that? Well, I hope you do. I hope you believe that as soon as the last breath leaves you, you're gone. I know your loved ones stand there and they see your body and they mourn and they weep because they're going to miss you. But you're not there. You're gone. Praise God, you're gone. Yep. And you know what the next thing you'll see is? Heaven. But it won't be like we think of heaven, folks. It's going to be like this book says. You're going to open your eyes and you're going to see a throne. You're going to close them and open them and you'll see a throne and you'll see one sitting on the throne. Now, how do I know that? Because that's what John saw. He says, and I saw a throne sitting. And there was one sitting on the throne. And he was likened to a sardine stone and an emerald. Now, was he an emerald and a sardine stone? No, it says he was like. You know, have you noticed young people today, and a lot of adults I've noticed picking it up. I don't know why, but I noticed they have. They use this filler word, like. They can't carry on a conversation unless they say like. Well, you know, like I was going over yonder, and like my girlfriend called like, you know, like I was going out to the mall. No, honey, you're either going to the mall or you're not going to the mall. It's not like you were going to the mall. Your girlfriend either called or she didn't call. It's not like they did. Like is what we call a filler word.
Like just simply means, it's the best way I can describe this. The one sitting on the throne was so brilliant. The only thing I could think of was a big diamond and a red ruby. Now listen, ladies, come on, help me out. If you think there's any more beautiful than a big diamond and a big red ruby, tell me what it is. You can't. And men, if you really want to buy something a woman likes, make it a diamond or a red ruby. What?
Emerald.
And then what is the next thing it tells you is around the throne? First of all, did you notice something there that's missing? There's two things I noticed real quick that's missing. Now, you don't know what it is, do you? Because I can see by the look on your face, it's like a deer caught in headlights. And you're saying, Tom, please don't ask me another question. I'm not going to.
You can ask me, I just okay
and answer. Well, I'm not going to ask you because I'm going to tell you. The first thing that I see missing there is the word fear. He's not afraid. John's not. Listen, when you get to heaven, bless God, if you're a child of God, you don't have fear. You have nothing to fear. He's your Father. John ain't afraid. But now, there's going to be some fear coming along later. Don't, the fear's not over. It's not just with John. Fear's not there. Now, the second thing that I noticed when I read that was there's no description of the throne. Don't you find that striking, sort of? I mean, here, everything, the throne is mentioned 10 or 11 times in this chapter and more in the next chapter. But it never gives, it gives description of everything. The one on the throne, things around the throne, the rainbow over the throne, but it never describes the throne. Now, I guarantee you, if you went to Buckingham Palace and you saw the throne that the Queen sits on, you would come back with a picture of that thing if they'd let you take it. And you'd say, I want you to look what a throne. But there's no description of the throne here. Why?
Because he outshines the throne.
Well, because the throne is not important. The throne just simply means power and sovereignty. The throne just simply means the one sitting on it belongs on it and has got all the authority that goes with it, right? There's no need to describe the throne. He's describing the one on the throne. Which is more important, the throne or the one on the throne? Well, I tell you, it's the one on the throne, and that's why that's the one that's described. And then we see around the throne. We see 24 seats or thrones. And sitting on them were 24 elders. Now, wouldn't it be nice if somehow we could take the Bible and figure out who these 24 elders are? Now, that'd be nice, wouldn't it? If we had a book, for example, that told you who the 24 elders are, wouldn't that be nice? That'd be wonderful. How many of you would go buy that book? You don't have to. Most of you already have it. This book will tell you exactly who these elders are. First of all, let's look at the word elder. Now, if you're an elder this morning, raise your hand. Now, come on, Homer, Dad. Give me your eye. I see your hair, so I know you're an elder. Don't be trying to act like you're still a young person. An elder simply means one of some age. Now, what do we say comes with a hoary head? Or a, white head or age. Who said that? Did you say wisdom? Well, you'd be right. You'd be right. You see, the word elder here is just, it's the word presbyter. Now, in the Bible, it's talked about ministers as being elders, right? But that's their calling. But there's another calling that makes us all elders. Sorry, Johnny. Sorry for all you young people in here. You're all elders. Because with being an elder comes wisdom. Now, wouldn't it be nice if there was somewhere in the Bible that would tell us how we get that wisdom? Because if we're here, we're an elder, and if we're an elder, we've got wisdom. So that must mean that those 24 people have
wisdom.
But it's around the throne, which means it's around God, which means it's
God's wisdom.
That's tell you what. Now you know why she's my assistant. Listen, everything that's around the throne is of God. And if they've got wisdom, it's God's wisdom. It's not man's wisdom. Man's wisdom, the Bible says, is that, you're getting it. You're getting it. But if you go to 1 Corinthians, and let's go there. Let's go there. 1 Corinthians. Does anybody know what chapter? Let's go to chapter 1. All right. Are you ready? Verse 23. But we preach Christ. We preach Christ crucified. Unto the Jews, it's a, and unto the Greeks, it's, but unto them which are, all right, now stop right there. Called. I want someone to give me a synonym for called that fits there. Huh? Yeah, it's okay. That's not bad. Well, that's okay.
Redeemed.
That's okay. What do you say? Oh, now we found the one word that is inclusive of all those things that were said, right? If you're saved, are you chosen? Yeah. If you're saved, are you? Now, remember what I said last week? If you're not invited, you're not going. Huh? And I got to tell you, if you're not redeemed, you're neither chosen, invited, nor saved. Because you have to be redeemed. The price has to be paid. But the word saved, oh, it fits them all, doesn't it? It fits them all. So if we just go to there and we say it this way, if we read it that way, it says this, but unto them which are saved, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. So how do you get the wisdom of God? You get saved. How do you get saved? You get called, you get chosen, you get invited, you get redeemed, and you are saved, and you have got wisdom of God. Yeah, we read some more, though. We read some more. So we just nail it right down. Nail it right down. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men. Now, see, so what he's saying is this. If that's too simple for you, sorry. Because man would make it seem more sophisticated, more intellectual, right? Man wants it to sound
wise.
Well, it's not a difficult thing. The most simple person can understand it. You need saving. You remember what he said to Zacchaeus? You know, Zacchaeus climbed up in the tree for the Lord he wanted to see. And as the Savior passed along, he said, Zacchaeus, you come down for today. I must go and abide with you. And they go to his house. And what did Zacchaeus say after the Lord got in his house? He said, Lord, now if I have taken anything.
Now, that's a rhetorical question because he was a tax collector and I just sent my taxes in. Oh, yeah. I can't stand it.
You know, I wouldn't mind, Johnny. I wouldn't mind sending that check in if they was honest with it. But they're not. I get off that. That's why I hate publicans. Tax collectors. The IRS. Can't stand them. The people work for them I don't hate. The bureau I hate. I digressed. I'm back to Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus said, Lord, if I have taken anything wrongfully. Well, everything he took was wrong. Remember, he was called a goodbye. Remember, I told you how to remember that. When it's tax time, you say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Yeah. To your money, goodbye. Because they don't send it back. Goodbye. That's what he was called, a goodbye. Everything he had taken was wrong. And he said, Lord, if I've taken anything wrong, I'm going to return it. Boy, you're clicking, aren't you? Been taking that mess, hadn't you? I'll return it fourfold. And you know what the Lord said?
Well, Zacchaeus, son, that's a good thing you're doing there. You're giving back fourfold. No, that's not what the Lord said. That's what Zacchaeus said. Zacchaeus was just showing what happened to him. His attitude had changed about the money. Huh? All of a sudden, the money didn't mean anything to him. He said, well, I give four times back. I don't care anymore. Money don't mean anything to me anymore. Why? Well, if you have Jesus, you've got everything, folks. Now, the Lord said, today is salvation. Come to this house. For he is indeed a son of Abraham. Folks, look. If you don't have salvation, you don't have anything. You have no hope. You know, we hear of the hereafter. You don't have a hereafter. We hear of life. You don't have any life. If you're not saved, you're as dead as a doorknob. You say, but Tom, people walks around as dead as a doorknob. It requires salvation. Let's read on. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are. Well, wait a minute. Now, does anybody see a problem there? Does the Lord not call mighty and noble and wise men? Oh, it's not. It's talking about the internal call there. You see, the noble and the wise and the others, they see the general calling as foolishness. There's a call comes ringing o'er the restless way. Send the light. But they don't see the light. And they don't want to see the light because they love darkness because they're thank you. Thank you. I knew you'd come to you. Listen, folks, people that are lost are in total darkness. Total darkness. There's no calling for them. There's no hope for them. They won't come to the light because their deeds are evil. And let's read on. But God hath
Now let's use a synonym right there, Sandy, since that was your word. But God hath
called.
It says chosen. Starts with an S. Thank you. There we go. Honey. Listen, ever since you and Homer's been gone, it's the quality sort of dropped. But God, I'm just, everybody knows I teach. But God hath saved the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath saved the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things that are despised hath God saved. And things which are not to bring to naught things that are. That no flesh should glory. Where? So let me ask you this, Doris, a very simple question.
Probably can't answer it.
Who's going to be in His presence?
Me, one.
It starts with an S.
The saved.
The saved. Listen, don't lose that word, folks. Salvation and saved is a good word. I know that we've sort of wanted to change it into a more intellectual. Well, you need to make a committal, or you need to do this, or you know. No, bless God, you need to be saved. You need deliverance. Deliverance from what? From where you are. And where you are is where you're at. And where you're at is in total darkness, in sin, without hope. That is a bad place to be. But aren't you glad David said, but He hath lifted me out of the dark, miry pit. Well, clay, it's okay. That's where you were. But you can't go to heaven there. You have to be delivered from there. Folks, salvation is a great thing. Why do you think there's so much praising and thankfulness going on in heaven? Because the only thing that got them there was salvation. And the only thing that can give you salvation, oh, I'll read on. I've read this. I know how it ends. But of Him are ye in, who of God is made unto us. Listen, if you're going to get the wisdom of God, you're going to get it one place and one place only, the Son. And if you don't have the Son, you don't have wisdom. And if you don't have wisdom, you is not an elder. And if you is not an elder, you won't be around this throne. Don't let anyone tell you that when you pass away, well, everything's going to be okay. No, it's not. I got news for anyone. If you are not saved, 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 if you don't have the wisdom of God, which is by Christ Jesus, oh, I'll read it. It sort of says that. But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and what, Mila?
Redemption.
That according as it is written, He that glorieth, let him
glory in the Lord.
Only those things can you obtain through Christ. Righteousness, redemption, sanctification. Now someone give me a synonym for those three things. Well, salvation. Being saved. So what does that tell you? Who's going to be around the throne? Well, no wonder it describes these elders as having... Thank you, John. Having what?
White robes.
White robes. And what else?
Crowns.
Of?
Gold.
Yeah. Listen. The white robe simply talks about purity. Let me give you a verse that helps you there. 1 John chapter 3 says, "Behold, brethren, now are we the sons of God." Yeah, y'all are getting it. "Behold, now are we the sons of God." Now, when are we the sons of God? Now. Okay. "Behold," see, that does away with this idea that we're going to be. You know, we get eternal life after we die. No, bless God. He says, "I give unto them eternal life and they shall never perish." He's talking about those that believe. So he's talking about something that starts with an S. Salvation. So when you get salvation, when you are saved, you get eternal life. And he says, "Behold, for now are we the sons of God, and it does not appear what we shall be. But we know," what does that mean? We've got full knowledge. Why? Because we've got the wisdom of God. See how that fits? "We know that when he shall..." No, how do you know he's going to appear?
He said so.
Huh?
He said so.
Well, but listen, that don't mean anything. No, I got news for you. The unsaved can read that. How do you know he's going to appear? You've got the wisdom of God. Listen, when you've got the wisdom of God, then you understand what God says is what God says, and it's going to happen. But folks, you can be unsaved and read that, and that don't mean you know it. You just read that that it says that. You follow me? See, but he says, "And they that..." have this knowledge, what do? They purify themselves, even as he is pure. What does that tell you? Okay, now here's what that tells you. When you get saved, you get the wisdom of God and the holiness of God, or the purity of God, right? Okay, now you've got the purity of God. Now, when you know that he's coming, and you know that he's coming because you have the wisdom of God, right? When you read it, it's true. What do you do? Oh, when there's something in your life that is not pure, that is not righteous, but is wrongness. I know it's not correct, but gets the idea. What do? You get rid of it. It says they purify themselves. You sanctify yourself. Remember, he gives you sanctification. When you get the wisdom of God, you get the sanctification, the redemption, and the wisdom. You get those three things. And the sanctification is where? Of God. Where is the sanctification? Inside. That's right. Now, see, she's getting this. The rest of you are not getting this. So, when he saves you, he sanctifies you on the inside, right? But what's the problem? Oh. That new creature that's sanctified on the inside is housed on this vile, sinful flesh on the outside, and this vile, sinful flesh don't want to do anything to please God. How do you like that? You're walking around in something that don't want to please God. Now, I see a problem there. Because Paul saw the problem, and he says, "Now I've got two members warring." Listen, folks, if you're not having a war, something's wrong. I say that with all love and not judgmental in any way. But if you don't see yourself in a war between the flesh and the spirit, between what's right and what's wrong. There's something wrong. I mean, if you can just go around doing wrong and it's not bothering you, why, my goodness, something's not right. Because he says, they purify themselves even as he is pure. You want to make yourself on the outside what he's done for you on the inside. Now, so he comes on and he says, that's the 24 elders around the throne. But there's four other things around the throne. There's four beasts. Now, you're going to see the word beast. I got just a minute or two. Got just a minute or two. You're going to see the word beast in Revelation. Now, there's two different Greek words used in different places, so that there is no misunderstanding about what you're reading. The word beast here means to make alive or to quicken or to give life to. Now, we all know that Ephesians says, for ye who were dead in trespasses and sin hath he, say it, Homer, quickened, made alive, give life to. Now let me tell you something. If you do not make it to heaven, you have no life. It's the only place where there is life. Why? For I am the way, the truth, and the life. Listen, if you don't get to the throne room, you'll never know life. Because that's the presence of life. And these four angels, and they are angels, I'll show you next week. I can't show you this week because the clock has clicked around. But I will show you. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we had a book, remember? That would show us exactly who these four living creatures are. See you next week.